Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for this time that we have together. I thank you that we have individuals that are looking to minister to those around us through the fruit baskets, and even just to give a word of encouragement. Father, I thank you for what's going to come next week in terms of Sharon's baptism. Lord, I feel like that's movement. That's doing what you want us to do. And I pray that there's more that comes from that too, that we just continue to reach out to the community in different ways and just to share the gospel and share the love that you have, that we already know about. So Lord, if there's anybody in their hearts that feel that they are interested in baptism, or know of somebody, even if they're not within the church, but the idea is that they really know Jesus and it's been on their heart to be baptized, just, Lord, let them just come forward. And I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity in which to share. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, touches us in a very special way here today. We, small in numbers today, and I'm sure a lot of it's because of the storm last night, and people still dealing with lack of power or just trying to clean up the area. And be with those that are hurting, Lord, and not doing well, that just can't get here. With all of that being said, Lord, you know what's important for those to be able to hear the message today. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit guides them and anchors them into your word. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the message that I have today is called A Future. And it's I'm going to conclude with the same verse that I concluded with last week. Does anybody remember what that one is? It's always a test you got to put up there just to see how the remembrance is. But it's going to be Isaiah 9 talking about, "Unto us a child is born." And really these messages spring from that particular verse because it is our hope and our knowledge and our spirit that longs for that to happen. And we know that this Christmas season is a reflection of the remembrance of Christ's coming, but I want you to remember that that's in the past, that Christ has come. What do we have in the future is that Christ will be coming again. But not in the same form, even for the same reason. So we need to remember that and to know that there is a future for every individual on this earth. Because I can tell you there's many that feel that there is no future, that there is no hope. And how sad that is to be able to live a life like that continually. Well, so I want to share a couple experiences that I had this week with some of my students. It's kind of comical in a way, but just a contrast. The seventh graders have been working really hard, and our FFA group has been staying after school working real hard. But this one girl was staying after, and I guess she's just a seventh grader. She reminds me of you, Lori, because she has about the same color of hair. I'm sure she has similar build and stuff. But she's not as wild and crazy as what Lori was when she was younger. But she is a quiet girl, and she's a really good worker. And so I had asked her to take some of these pieces of wood that we're making for sale and stuff. And what she needed to do was to take them to a disc sander. And a disc sander is like a circular sanding pad that just spins, and there's a metal plate that's perpendicular to it. So she can just put the pieces right up against it and sand the pieces square after they've been cut with a bandsaw, with a different, this straight cut. And she was doing a really good job of it, exactly the way I showed her how to do that. And she was doing such a great job that she finished early. So I said, well, just take your pieces over to the table and then use a finish sander, which is a little vibrating sander that goes over the flat surface of these pieces of wood, and sand those down. And so without telling her anything, she would go over and do that very thing. And then when she finished the sanding part, she'd go back over to the sanding disc and work some more pieces that were cut. And she just kept doing this for a full hour. And I didn't say anything to her that night when she was working after school, but it just touched my heart in such a way to see this seventh grader working so diligently that I never had to once correct the way that she was doing stuff. Never had to tell her to stay on task because she found work to do and she just kept working. Now, isn't that like the ideal student that you would like to have in school? And so it was the next day I told her, and I said, I've got to tell you because it's just been, you know, on my heart. And I said, I've already kind of like told lots of people about the way that you were working last night. And I said, it really speaks a lot about your character, and it speaks a lot about, you know, your mindset in terms of being able to listen and just follow through. And just to continue being diligently, not worrying about what other people were saying. And it was kind of funny too, is like when she finished after that, you know, the hour of working, and you know, she's kind of like that, the strawberry, you know, colored hair and stuff like that. She had sawdust all through her head and stuff like that, and it's almost like she was graying. And it was just kind of funny to see that. You know, the kids were laughing about it, and she didn't bother her at all. And you know, and I told her, I said, you know, you have really just put yourself way up above the bar of everyone else. And, you know, I just really wanted her to know that I noticed stuff like that and to be able to see that. And I'm thinking, what a future this girl has and the potential. And I'm not saying that she has to be a rocket scientist, or, you know, some biological engineer or, you know, someone that just can, you know, write new software that, you know, to solve the world problem and stuff like that. But even if she becomes a mother, I know that she's going to be a diligent mother. I know that she's going to take pride in the work that she does. And I know that she's going to really strive, you know, in the future. But I didn't want her to go through life not knowing that people don't notice that sort of thing. Right? So, and I haven't really, it was like on Friday when I talked to her and everything. So she won't say anything, but it's just really neat to be able to share that with her. That same day, there was another student that I had, another seventh grade during class, and we're making these stepping stools, and he's a little bit behind. He's kind of a, not sure what the word is. Dwaddler isn't quite right, but he just never stays on task. But it's just, so he has his wood pieces stained for the stepping stool that we're making, and he has to glue them together. And he had the project together, and he's like, "Oh, I have to glue it?" I'm like, "Yes, I've been giving demonstrations, and everybody else has been doing this sort of thing. You too need to glue your stepping stool and put it together." "Oh, okay. Well, how do I do that?" I'm like, "Well, don't you remember the demonstrations I've been giving you and stuff like that?" And he's like, "Well," I said, "Well, you've got to take your stepping stool apart, and you've got to get the glue, and then I'll come over and I'll help you." So he takes it all apart, and then he has a glue bottle and stuff, the cap off it and everything. And so I said, "All right, so now you're going to need to glue your piece." And he goes, "What, this piece?" And he takes one of the flat pieces that isn't to be glued, and he takes his glue like a pointer, right? And he says, "Am I supposed to glue this?" And like glue's coming right out of the tube and stuff like that. And he's like, "Look at me as he's doing this." I says, "Hold your tube up. You're dropping glue all over the place." And he's like, "I am? Where?" And he's going over like this. Everywhere he looked, you know, glue's going all over the place. And he's looking the opposite way of where the glue is, so he never sees the glue coming out. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And there's a student that's a 12th grade student, a very good, well, he's not every time, I think he's a 10th grade student. Real good work. He came down just to do some extra work on his small engine. He's right there on the same table that this kid's working on. And he's like, "Oh my God." That's what the word's saying. I know he's not being, you know, mad or anything like that, but he's just like, "Are you kidding me? Is this even possible that this kid be like this?" And so he got like absolutely nothing done. And I'm thinking, what future does this kid have? Yeah. Yeah. He's a likable kid. He is not a, you know, he's not a kid that really gets in trouble, and he's at least not in my class, and he tries to stay on focus when he's there. But it's like, what kind of future is this kid going to have? And I, you know, they all grow up, you know, that's something that's, and so I just kind of take it with a grain of salt and everything. We're all different. We all have different talents and stuff like that. And I'm looking at this one girl, and I'm looking at this one boy, and I'm looking at the world, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what a difference we can make in this world. But, you know, I'm also thinking in the sense that, you know what, it doesn't really matter what this girl does. And it doesn't really matter what this guy does. Because without the Lord, it means nothing. absolutely nothing. And so we can put our hopes in certain people to make this world a better place. But we're putting our hope in the wrong place. And I really mean that. I mean, it's nice to have things that people can create and to make our life easier. We've done that. We've got the transportation of the cars that we can use that have heaters on them and as Hope says, heated seats even, that when it's cold out there, you can walk in the car and it's really warm. And we have new roofs that can kind of be put on our house to keep us dry and sheltered, as Barb's got done over there. Or we've got these generators, that Dennis was using to be able to make sure this house was kept, warm. And we've got these doctors that have procedures that can fix us up when things go bad. But I tell you, all of that means absolutely nothing unless we have the Lord. So let's look at some scripture I want to share that we're going to have with us. The first one we have is from Psalms. It's Psalm 102. Yep. And this psalm really speaks a lot about a future and that God really has a plan. And I want to read this to you and be looking at this sort of thing in the sense that we know that the Israelites tried hard to be God-fearing people. And at times they really were very good about it. At times they were really bad about it. And sometimes I feel like that's our walk as well, is when we try to do the best we can for the Lord and we seem to fail. And we wonder if there's really any future at all with us, with the Lord, because of the mistakes that we make and everything. But I want you to look at what God says right here in Psalm 102, verses 18 through 22. Let this be written for a future generation. Oh, we're looking way into the future, right? So this is to be written, this is God's word speaking there, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Ones that haven't been born? People that haven't been born? Or is it like a new species of humans that are going to be coming up? These genetically engineered things that we're looking at are going to be coming up and they're much better, they don't get sick or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. That new generation of people that he's speaking about are the people not under the law, but the people under grace. And Armando's right. It's us that he's talking about. We are that future generation that God is speaking about. And the number of years, that is taken for this to come to a fruition and for us to even be able to be here and to hear this sort of thing, to me it means an awful lot. That God thinks so far ahead, before we even are in existence. But he says this to us. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and to release those condemned to death. What is that? Those that are bound by the law and can't fulfill the law, that their destiny is death. And we know that God has fulfilled his promise by sending his Son to die on the cross for us because he's heard our pains. He's heard our sufferings. And he's heard the lack of hope that's there, which is really sad. He says, so the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. Think about that. And when people recognize what God has done for us, what's our response? But we gather together to worship Him. What are we doing here today? We've gathered today to worship Him, and we are that generation that He's speaking about. Are we doing what He wants? Yeah. And it's like our hearts are in that spot, and how neat that is. That back in the Old Testament, God had a plan for you and me. To provide a way that we can just come to Him and be free to worship. How much of a blessing that is. So when we look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Right? We live in this world where there's a lot of trouble. And though we're not in a war-torn zone, though we're not in a place where, you know, we're in Kentucky where the whole community has just been wiped out. Though we're not in an area where maybe a tsunami has come through and just plowed through. We are in an area where hearts are dismayed. Where there's a lot of people that have true anxieties about what's going to be happening around here. Or we are so fearful that we become angry and we have arguments with other people over trivial things. We have separation between family members. Husbands and wives are separations. Children, there's separations. Neighbors, there's separations. People are leaving jobs sometimes because they don't like the coworkers that they have. You know, and that's a deeply rooted issue. That to me is sometimes deeper than just a catastrophe that's going on. But look what Jesus says. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. This is our future. That Jesus loves us so much that he has gone back to the Father. And it's like, you know, what does it take to prepare a room for me? I was like, just throw up a, you know, I'm sure it's a nice place. It's not going to be raining on me. It's like, just give me something, you know, nice to lay on. I'm good with that. I don't need a huge place. I don't need a mansion. But somehow I think God's going to make a very special place for me. Just as he's going to make a very special place for each of you. Because he loves it that you love him. And what father would give stones or snakes if the son had asked for bread? And we know that God our Father is a loving Father. And he looks at us and he sees all of us, even as this girl that can work on this standing thing, you know, like perfectly, and this other child that just seems to get nothing right, no matter what he does. He loves each of those individuals the same. And because of that, for those, you know, he wants them to come to him and accept him. But we live in this world and we look at this world and we say, you know, what good can come from that? But again, it's all part of God's plan that he puts us here now, today, in this society, in this date, in this location, you know, with the gifts that we have and the body that we have. And we're going to say, seriously? Come on. I can't sing. You know, what's the point of, you know, going to church? Well, God gives other gifts. Other than just being able to sing. Or, you know, whatever it is that he gives us gifts for. So let's look in Hebrews here, chapter 13, verse 14. He says, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. That's our future. We know that this place where we live right now is not our home. Scripture says we're aliens, we're foreigners. Because where's our home? Where is our real home? Yeah, it's with God. That is our home. So when we're here, though God is here, this is not what we're really destined for. But God has given us this place for a reason. He's given us this body for a reason. And even Isaiah speaks about this, right? We already looked at the Psalms, which is Old Testament, looking for this future generation, realizing that that's sort of us. Let's look what Isaiah has to say in chapter 66, verses 20 through 24, the last scriptures in the book of Isaiah. Right? After he gets through all the stuff that he kind of says, this is what he does to sum things up. And he says this, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me." Wow, think about that. If you want to know what's going to happen, read Isaiah. That every individual will come and bow down before the Lord, says the Lord. And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind. Now, this is really something. It's like sometimes I struggle, like how much do I give in terms of the message and where we're going from this? The first, you see these people that those that come to know the Lord, they will worship Him and that they will spend time with the Lord, and there will be blessings upon blessings, that they'll have a home with the Lord. And we can just think of this place where there will be, you know, no tears, there'll be no weeping, and there's going to be no gnashing of the teeth, no disease, no sickness, but it literally just in the presence of God, sin will be removed. And it's something like, wow, it's for hard for us to really understand. But if you look at the scripture, there's those that come to know the Lord and what they receive. And then we also look at those that don't want to know the Lord. I mean, I would like all of the messages to be just upbeat and realizing that, you know, the Lord is nothing but love, and that is the Lord. But the Lord is holy too. And sin can't stand against the holiness. Whereas if we choose sin over God, then we can see what our future will be. Loathsome. Forever in a fire, quenched. With worms eating our body forever. I mean, what kind of positive attitude, you know, message is that? But really, what we need to see is the contrast. We think that this world is a great place to live. If we're thinking that, we're not thinking heavenly thoughts. Because heaven is so much more. It's almost, to me, it would just be incomprehensible in terms of what it's like. But you see, as Christians, heaven is our future. It's even our presence right now. So let's look at this. You know, where do we put our investment? Where do we put our time and everything? Let's see what First John chapter 2, verse 17 says. The world and its desires pass away. Oh, really? So if you're banking on this world and the things of this world to get you to where you want to be, guess what's going to happen to you? But you're going to pass away with it. So we've got to go beyond that sort of thing. Because look what it says. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want, just to be in His presence and be able to do His thing. Because, you know, and it's not just about getting out and just reading Scripture. It's doing the things that we've already heard today. Armando, going to help Dennis with his generator. You know, that's the sort of stuff that God wants us to do. Be a servant and serve others. Right? And I mean, that's just what I know you folks are preaching to the choir. I understand that. But I want to reaffirm the things that you are doing are eternal. Because you're doing them in the name of the Lord, and that pleases Him. So much so in the sense that, you know, we realize that, you know, God isn't just up in the heavens, But God is right here, and not just around us, but as Christians, He resides in our hearts. So that we become the temples, right? Of what where God resides. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." I've said this time and time again, and I'm not going to get tired of saying this sort of thing. God's eternal purpose is that very thing, is that He will be our God, and we will be His people. Everything that He does leads to that single purpose. And if we don't recognize that as being God's eternal purpose, that He wants to be our God and wants us to be His people, then we're kind of like shooting arrows someplace here, someplace over there, trying to figure out what God wants for us. But if we know the purpose of why Jesus Christ died on the cross for us so that He can be our God and we can be His people, that God shared all the prophecies of the Old Testament and of the New Testament with us, to know that we have a future with Him, to live that sort of life, it gives us focus. So these two kids, you know, the one that can seem to work really well and the one that just is like lost in terms of directions or whatever, that those two kids should know God's eternal purpose as well. Because of regardless of what they're able to do or unable to do, the thing that they need to do has come to know the Lord. Because it gives them an eternal purpose. And that's the purpose that God wants. That He wants to be with us and wants us to be with Him. So it brings me to the last verse, and we're looking at this Christmas message. It's like, what is it that God has done in order to give us a future? What is it that God has ordained to happen and committed to us to be able to do this? Well, it's the very verse that I was talking about in Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You see, that is the Christmas message. And when we look at it, you know, last week in the sense of a balance is that God creates that balance, not just of, you know, good and evil, but the balance that He is the judge, that He is the Almighty One, and our trust goes into Him. Today's message is that we have a future with God. And what does it take to have that future with Him? It's to recognize who He is. Proclaim in our hearts that we want God there. To know that He is our Savior. And what this prophecy here speaks about in Isaiah 9 has already come true. And we know what they say about prophets where their prophecy actually comes true is that they are a bona fide true prophet. And Isaiah is that. So when Isaiah speaks in the very end where he talks about the new heaven and the new earth, guess what? He's already proven himself to be a true prophet. Guess what's going to happen? That there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The question is, will you be part of that? Well, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, put those worries aside. You will be there. But if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to consider that. Because if you don't, there's another place for you. And it's not a place that I would want to send anybody. And the place is hell. It's a place away from God and all of His blessings. The Christmas message is not about just giving gifts. The Christmas message is that the gift has been given. And what are you going to do with the gift? Do you accept it? Or do you reject it? Do you want some advice from me? Accept it. Without a doubt. Even if you don't understand it completely. But you know that God is good. God is love. And it doesn't make your life perfect. It doesn't make the events happening in you like all the troubles and stuff disappear. But what it does for you is to let you know that God is with you through all of that. That He will carry you. And He will guide you to that home that we know is our future. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this message here today. And I just thank You that there's so much love that comes from You. If only people could recognize that. If only people could grasp onto that and to know that the love that You have for us is eternal. Lord, this Christmas season, let there be a rejuvenation of people submitting their lives to You. Let there be a time where there's just an abundance of the majesty or the magnificence of Your glory being shown in every household around here. Just thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for Your great love. And I thank You for the future that we have. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.